So with that said, we just began a brand new series last week called The Recipe for Worship. And there are four ingredients in the worship recipe, that is to worship with the heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm going to talk about that here in just a moment. But for those of you that were not here last week, I want to review what we covered for just a moment. So as we take the word worship, what that means is worth-ship. It means ascribing worth to someone who is great. It expresses something held in our highest esteem. And of course, when we worship God, that is the position of our heart. He is high and we are low. He is big and we are small. And if anything becomes more important than God's highest worth in our life, then it becomes idolatry. So the way it works in our hierarchy of our thinking is God, then family. God, then work. God, then kids. That's right. God, then spouse. God, then coffee. God, then TV. And I'm talking about when we first get up in the morning. The principle is God first, and I'm going to be talking more about that as we get into the message on worshiping God with all of our strength. So God first, all else second. The second thing is that worship, true worship that God demands, is to worship in truth and spirit in John 4:24. It says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in truth, in spirit and in truth. And last week we looked at what that was. The third thing is that worship transforms us. When we draw near to God, he draws near to us. That's his promise. And when we spend enough time in his presence, we're just going to change, and that's just the way it's going to be. And I use Moses as an example. Moses went up to Mount Sinai. He was in God's presence for 40 days. And when he came back down the mountain, they're like, dude, Moses, you've got to cover yourself up. You're blinding us. The presence of God and God's glory was so thick upon Moses that he literally had to cover himself up so he wouldn't hurt the eyes of the people. That's the type of glory that happens when we're in the presence of God, and it can happen through worship. Then there are two types of worship, which all worship falls under, and that's attitude that has to deal with our heart, our mind, our emotional approach to God. And then there is service, which is the physical actions and the tangible displays of affection that we show God. And then we talked about love, because that foundational, the foundation of love, when we're talking about worshiping God, is to show him our affections. It's the full expression. When we worship God, we're giving him the full expression of our love. And it's love with our complete being. And that's how love and worship relate to each other. And then, as I mentioned, there are four ingredients of authentic worship that are done in love. And that is heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then we learn in Mark chapter 12 that worship is equated with literal sacrifices. When we worship God, we are literally presenting an offering to God. But it's even a better offering than normal sacrifices. Let me read Mark 12:33 to you. So this is what Jesus, when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He says, to love God with all your heart, and then to love your neighbor, you know, as yourself. But then he went on to explain how it is that we love God with all of our heart, that how it is that we love him. And he says, to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength. That's how we are to love God. And here's how love becomes worship. Because it's more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. So when we are worshiping God, we are expressing love in heart, soul, mind, and strength worship. And when we do it, it becomes a sacrifice to God, but is even a higher sacrifice It is a higher offering than even if we were to, back in the Old Testament when they would sacrifice an animal. It's even a greater sacrifice than that. Are you guys with me this morning? All right. So today I want to talk about the first ingredient in the recipe of worship, and it's called heart worship. Heart worship. This means loving God with our choices. So what is heart worship? It's how we express our love toward God. Yes, the heart is a literal thing. We all know it. We can feel it on our chest, right? Hopefully, if you put your hand in your chest, you're going to feel something beating in there. So it's real. And the heart is what keeps us alive. But we also use the term heart in a figurative sense in our culture. These are just a few of the expressions that we use. I love you with all of my heart. My heart is happy. My heart is broken. My heart hurts for you. My heart rejoices with you. What are we conveying when we use those expressions? Well, in modern day times, such as Valentine's Day, we use the heart to convey emotions and deep sentiments. But this was not so in biblical times. In the Bible, the word heart actually speaks of the human will. It speaks of the human will. It's the power of choice that God has given us when He created us. In Psalm 119, verse 2, the psalmist writes, "Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with a whole heart." That is, they choose to seek Him. In Matthew 6:21, Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." What is that? That means what we decide, what we choose to invest in, is where our priorities will lie. So it's a choosing of our heart. And even Paul demonstrated that the heart involves choosing when he told the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 6. "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart." That means choosing to do this as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Again, this is choosing. So to love God with all of our heart, it's an act of our free will, is what it means. We choose to worship God. It's not based on feelings or circumstances, but on a decision to respond to the love of God. Excuse me. I'm leaking up here. Usually it's my eyes, but it's coming from everywhere this morning. I know that's more than you came to church to hear, but we're real here, man. This is you get it all here. So we're talking about our will. And our will is critical. Because like love, worship must be freely chosen to be genuine worship. When we make an intentional choice to thank God, to honor Him, to glorify Him, to receive forgiveness, to listen to His Word, to submit to His will, or engage in praise, that is when we are worshiping God from the heart. We've made a decision that I'm going to worship God no matter what. It's a choice. I want to read you a story this morning. I hope you will read with me. Turn your Bibles to Job chapter 1. So we'll have it on the screen, and while you're turning there in your Bibles, have your pen ready, because there's an important verse in here that really sums it all up. So if you'll read along with me, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household. so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. And his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was, when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would arise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." And thus Job did regularly. Verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it." Remember that when we studied 1 Peter, how Satan walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 8. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" So Satan answered the Lord and says, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." Basically, Satan was saying to him, he only worships you because you give him good things. You take away his good things and he won't worship you anymore. Verse 12. And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, when the Sabaeans raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." Verse 16. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three bands. They raided the camels and they took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you." Verse 20. Then Job arose, he tore his robe, and he shaved his head. Here was the pivotal moment. All the angels were watching. What is Job going to do? Is Satan going to win? Was he right? Or is God going to stand victorious because one of his own decides, no matter what the circumstances are, I'm going to worship? So then Job, after shaving his head, he fell down to the ground and he what? He worshiped. Underline that in your Bibles. When you're going through hard things and life is tough and has dealt you a blow that you just didn't deserve, open up Job chapter 1 verse 20. And look here. Here is our response. No matter what's going on in our life, we are to worship God. It's a choice that we make. It's not dependent upon our circumstances and it's not dependent upon our feelings. It's dependent upon the choice that we make in a response to love. The love that God showed us as He gave His only begotten Son to save us from hell and eternity and damnation. He has given us life and a hope. And we choose to say, "God, in spite of all that's happened, I'm going to choose to serve You no matter what." So the point is for us is clear. Our will is a critical factor in our worship. Why did God give us free will anyway? wouldn't robots have been a lot easier for God to deal with and control? You know, it's not true love unless we have a choice. God has allowed us to worship and love Him, not by forced compliance, but of our own volition. It's a response. God says, do you really love me? I'm not going to make you love me. I'm not going to make you worship me. But oh, if you do, oh, if you do, even when things are not going well, if you do worship me, I will receive that because you've decided to do it. He doesn't desire for us to simply be going through the motions. Oh, it can be so easy to go through the motions of worship. To just check the box off. I read my Bible this morning. I prayed. I went through the motions. But it wasn't a deliberate choice to spend intense time with God. It's so easy. God wants us to want to worship Him. To express our freely offered love to Him. So what are some choices that we can make to express our love for God? I've got 3 points this morning. The first is time. Time. The first thing that we can do is make the choice to worship God and to set aside time to do so. This involves prayer, maybe praise. Just some time of being in God's presence. Nothing says, I love you more than when we make time for God. But it's not just true for God. It's the same principle with our families. Nothing speaks louder when I say I love you than when I make time for my family. I can tell them all day long, oh, you know, I love you, I love you. They're just words. I can fill up the car with gasoline so she doesn't have to do it. You know, I can do other things around the house to express my love, and those are great things. But what really expresses my love to them is when I make time for them. When I say, this time is for you. That's why I love having date nights with Liana. We don't get a lot of them. We don't have a lot of family around here. But it's a time for us just to come together and make time for each other. And say, you're important. Thank you for making me feel important and loved. It's so important. And if it's important for us and our children, how much so more so for God? To make time in our busy lives. We're all so busy, aren't we? In our busy lives when we just set a time and make time for God. You know, our calendar reveals our most basic decisions for worship. How important is time with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit with you? Have we marked out time for our calendar with God? Set an appointment, made a date with God every day? I guarantee He's going to be sitting there looking at the clock. Okay, they're almost awake. They're almost up, waiting for that appointment to begin because we've made time. We've set an appointment on our calendar. Oh, that's worship. That's heart worship. The second thing is that we can do to express our worship, but through heart, is choose to worship despite our feelings and circumstances. And again, I've talked about this, like Job. Oh, you know, I just don't feel like praying right now. I don't feel like singing. I don't feel like going to church. I just don't feel like it. Man, if we lived our lives based on our feelings, we'd probably never get out of bed. Our circumstances. Man, things have just really gone off the tracks this week. I don't feel like worshiping God. In fact, truth be told, I'm a little mad at Him. I blame Him for the wind that blew down my tent. I blame Him for the Sabians that came and stole all my camels. I blame Him for this stuff. Isn't it funny how God always gets blamed when it's the devil that's doing it? It's another trick of the devil. What are we going to do in those times? Oh, I don't feel like it. You know what? I've worked 15 hours today. I'm too tired. I got to get up at 4 a.m, be at work. I don't have time to pray. I'm busy. I work all day, come home, I'm hungry. Gotta make time for my family and my kids. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like spending time in God's Word. Oh, but when we decide that that's what we're going to do, despite how we feel our circumstances, it becomes heart worship. And that's the second point. And the third point is, choose to be all in. You know what that means, to be all in? You ever had a conversation with somebody and they're just looking over your shoulder instead of right at you? They're looking around. Who else is in the room? Oh, yeah, yeah, uh-huh, uh-huh. Oh, yeah, yeah, uh-huh. Okay, yeah, yeah. Anyway, I'm not going to go too far there. But to be all in is so important. In those times when we decide to set aside for our family, we need to be all in. Not checking our watch. Not checking the TV program. Okay. How much more so for God? Not just checking a box on a Sunday, but to be all in. I remember recently, America's president-elect Biden was at the funeral for some of those guys that had gotten slain in Afghanistan. And it was a time when America's heart is breaking. We're upset over the way we pulled out of Afghanistan. There is no one being held accountable for it. Families are hurt. And our president-elect is sitting there, and he was filmed during the ceremony checking his watch. Now look, let's cut him some slack. Maybe he had some place to go. Maybe he had to be that. Maybe he was on a schedule. He's the president. He's probably meeting with a lot of people. But the message that's sent is, I'm not here in the moment, and I don't really care about what's going on. When we spend our time with God, it's not a time just to read through the scripture while I read my chapter. I said my prayer. I listened to my song. It's a time when we're there, we're engaged. God has shown up for the appointment. We need to be fully there as well. We need to be fully there, and it becomes heart worship. We're making the choice that this is the most important 30 minutes in my entire day. And you have all my heart. And that's heart worship. That's worshiping God with all of our heart. So as I conclude today, to become a true heart worshiper, it takes time. And time really is where the rub comes in, isn't it? One preacher said, we modern Christians, we do not take the time to be holy. And that's so true. We're in a fast-paced society. We're constantly moving. Man, time is money. Time is money. And we don't take the time to grow in our holiness. And he's right. Because often instead of spending quality time with God, we're satisfied with a fast food approach. The In-N-Out. Who's eating at In-N-Out burgers? Man, they make some great hamburgers. By the way, they're a Christian-owned organization. So if you ever have the privilege of being around an In-N-Out burger, go give them a little patronage. They make fantastic food. You get your hamburgers and french fries in about 15 minutes, and it'll make your day. But when it comes to worshiping God, In-N-Out is not the approach that we need to take. We need to take the approach as, I'm here and I'm committed. I'm going to be fully in, Lord. Would you meet me here? And as we respond to His love with heart worship, He's going to be fully there as well. And when we're in His presence is when we begin to transform and our life begins to change. So where do we begin? Where do we begin? How do we become heart worshipers? Well, we begin right now. Right now, we choose right now to seek God's presence. I'm not going to wait till Monday. I'm not going to wait till later. I'm going to make the decision and the choice that I'm going to become a worshiper of God right now. I'm going to seek His presence and I'm going to schedule Him into my day and into my calendar. It's date time with Jesus. Remember that heart worship is one of the four ingredients of God's recipe for worship. So this must have some significance to it, right? To make the choice, to make the commitment. So here's what we do. We start each day with God. Not reading a quick prayer, poem, devotional. Those are great. Don't stop reading those. But they are no substitute for the meat of the Word of God. And the presence of God in that time when we invite the Holy Spirit into the reading of His Word. That's where we grow and that's where we begin to transform. Do you like music? Here's what I do in those times when I'm just going to spend time with God. YouTube, you can go to YouTube and you can put in your search, worship instrumental. And all these worship music comes up that are hours long that people have done. And it's just beautiful praise music. And it sets the atmosphere for my time. It kind of removes me from the world and allows me to enter into God's presence. And as I listen to the music and as I read God's Word, suddenly I begin engaging God with my emotions. And we're going to talk about that here. It's one of the ingredients of worship. It allows me to consciously choose to be in the moment. It allows me to begin to use my body, as we're going to see what that is. That's one of the ingredients, and my soul as well. I want to encourage you to put on some praise music. And you know what? It's okay if you find yourself singing to Jesus. Nobody's watching, right? Just go ahead and let go. We sing in the shower, don't we? Some of us. Okay, I sing in the shower. I don't care who's around me. It's just me. But when I sing to Jesus, I don't care who's around me. It's just me and Him. He's all that matters. I'm making the conscious choice and it becomes heart worship. And it's a good thing and Jesus values it. Amen? Amen? Let's be worshipers. I'm excited for the rest of this series, and I hope if you're just visiting today that you're able to come back for the remaining messages in this series. I'll tell you, if we can catch worship and truly become worshipers, God will transform this church. And with a transformed church, He can transform whole cities. All fires start in one place. Why not here? Why not here? Amen. Let's close our eyes and pray.